that's the focus of Zen meditation. One of the most famous of these is the garden at Ryoanji, a well-known Buddhist temple in Kyoto that's often pictured in studies of the Japanese garden tradition. It's a large rectangular space filled with white sand, fine white gravel, and in that space are 15 rocks very carefully placed. And around the space is a wall made of stucco that has in the stucco a certain mixture of clay and oil, so that the oil has bled out of the clay and looks like the background, the gold background of a Chinese painting. In fact, the garden in Ryoanji, in some ways, is a three-dimensional realization of one of those wonderful Chinese paintings of a landscape that shows mountains emerging from clouds, shows the mountain image as an image of the assertive and positive aspect of the movement of forces in the universe, and the clouds as the passive aspect of reality that we associate with the Taoist image of the interplay of opposites and a harmonious vision of the cosmos. Ryoanji is a little bit like that. It's got stones sticking up through the gravel as if they were mountaintops peeking up through the mist that covers the face of the earth. When I was there in Japan looking in this place, I talked to one of the monks and asked him how they use these gardens as contemplative devices in their practice of Zen. One would, of course, be curious about this. They're not really meant to represent the world, but to be tools for meditation in one way or another. And his answer surprised me. He said that the first thing that they do in a monastery, and they do this for many years, actually, is simply to learn how to clean the monastery, to sweep the floor and to polish it, and especially to sweep the garden and to rake it. So one of the most fundamental things that you do with a Japanese Zen garden is simply to maintain it in a certain kind of fastidiously prescribed way, so that each gesture that you perform, each move that you make with the rake, becomes a focal point of meditation. So your first encounter with this object is really through work, through the discipline of labor. But then he said that there also are moments in the flow of the day in a monastery when you're not doing carefully prescribed meditation, but simply have an opportunity to do zazen on your own in a different setting, and often at night, especially under the light of a moon, it's wonderful to sit down on the edge of one of these gardens and absorb yourself in a state of concentration, where the garden itself expresses to you some of the sense of quiet, simplicity, and stillness that is really the heart of Zen. I think for many of us, this visual representation of Zen is one of the most powerful. People don't always, of course, sit down and practice Zen, but they can relate to it in this visual way, and the extraordinary icon of the Zen experience of contemplation that's created by one of these landscape spaces. Another important example of the influence of Zen values on Japanese culture is in the tradition of Japanese poetry. And I've always found that one of the most eloquent and expressive representatives of this tradition is the poet Matsuo Basho, who lived from 1644 to 1694, one of the most famous and respected poets in the Japanese tradition. One of his poems, I believe, may very well be familiar to you. It's widely quoted when people talk about Japanese culture, and some people say that if you can understand what Basho's getting at in this poem, you can really put your finger on the heart of Japanese culture. Poem is pretty simple. Let me read it. Let me intone it. Old pond, frog jumps in, sound of water.